in a crazy season of life right now, are we not? I mean, as a church, individuals, I mean, just take this week alone, we experienced, you know, new life, the miracle of that, and just, you know, additions, and, you know, we have church family that's lost loved ones this week, tragically, and, you know, we've been experiencing huge growth in this church, and we got the building project going on. Some of you guys are starting new careers and businesses, and, you know, there's marriages in the works, and there's just so much stuff going on, and, you know, just, I was kind of cycling through all that stuff, you know, in my own mind, and it's like, you know, a lot of times we look at seasons like this that, you know, God's, you know, all these things are happening, and it's like, you know, well, God's just building us for something great to happen. Well, I think God built us for this season to happen, because, I mean, just the outpouring of support for the families, you know, the Miller family that lost, you know, their husband, brother, uncle, dad, and then, you know, the Kiros family with the new addition and all that stuff going on, like, we're built for each other, you know, and that's been evident this week, just the amount of love and support you guys have shown each other, rallied around each other, and, you know, this whole building project that we're doing, we got people showing up on work nights, and just, I mean, it's just awesome. And so if nothing else lands here in a couple minutes, just hear this. You are in a good place. This is family right here, right? And this is what church is about. It's about being there for each other and lifting up each other in prayer, being there with meals. I mean that's Bible stuff right there. So if you leave with anything today, just know that you're in a good place, you're in the right place, and just do not stop making connections with each other. Amen? Amen. All right. So moving on. So last Sunday, Pastor Jesse ignited this new message series we're calling Man on the Moon. And, you know, it's all about our dreams. And he laid out kind of what this series is supposed to do. And it's supposed to answer three questions. It's, you know, what is my moon? You know, what's my dream? And identifying that. And that's something we've done a lot this year. So we want to go even further, like to the next step. How do I get to my dream? How do I get to my moon? You know, what are the steps? What do I have to be doing? Now, you know, maybe I know what I'm doing. How am I supposed to get there? Because that seems like a lot of work. So Pastor Jesse's going to walk us through some of those steps. And then thirdly, like when I get there, what in the world, like what do I do? How do I act? How do I keep going? How do I not lose focus? How do I not lose that fervor? So the idea is to kind of walk through those three sections of getting to your moon. And so I thought, you know, this would be a good week since, you know, he launched it last week and then, you know, had to have a baby or whatever, kind of broke the series. That's kind of no good. But anyways, I was like, he's like, what do you want to talk about? I was like, you know, I think since let's do like intro one, you know, you do 1A, I'll do 1B. And that's why, you know, this can kind of be brief, because if you're like me, whether it's talking about dreams or fighting sin or reaching out to others, you know, we come in on a Sunday, and we get all amped up. You know, Jesse's on fire, the worship's amazing, and we leave out just so built up and amped up to, you know, take on the world. We're gonna go find our dream and chase it. We're gonna get there, or you know, I'm gonna rid this sin out of my life. I'm gonna connect with other people. I'm gonna get on that outreach team, and we're gonna go clean up this entire city, and we're out of here. And you know, that's like you know, for you 9 o'clock guys, that's like 10:25. All right. Well, there's like 6 days that happen before we're back in this dimly lit box of a dungeon auditorium, right? So there's 6 days. So there's a lot that happens in 6 days, right? Like a lot. So like, I don't know. Let me grab one of these real quick, if I may. So we're in here on a Sunday. And, you know, we leave, like I said, we leave 1 week. Maybe you left last week thinking, yes, I am on with this series. We are going to get to my moon. And then you're going through life. And then day one, day two, day three, and then Thursday and Friday. So some of us come back the next Sunday. Maybe it's today, and you're just like, okay, build me back up again, because I just can't even. And worship starts, and you know, you start to kind of get back up, and you're like, all right. So maybe by the end of today, or you know, whatever Sunday's following after your experience, it's like, okay, let's go do it again. I'm gonna take on the world. I'm gonna get to my moon. But like, what happens in those 6 days, right? What happened? How do you lose it so quickly? Because you know, like Josiah was saying yesterday, you know, the teenagers, journey youth, they get a midweek service. We get Wednesdays. So a lot of you guys though are just going Sunday to Sunday, right? So maybe you're not meeting, you're not connecting, you're not getting that, you know, that little midweek bump. But taking a look at kind of like that idea, like you got those 6 days from Sunday to Sunday, we're going to take a look at 6 different reasons or ways or excuses that we allow ourselves to hesitate to go towards our moon, our dream. So if it's all right, I'm going to walk you real quick through kind of 6 different ways I think we all hesitate. Is that cool? All right, let's pray. God, thank you so much for this day. Thank you so much for this morning. God, I thank you personally just for a church family that I get to be with and go through life with. I thank you for those that you've put in this seat for this time right now. God, we pray that the words spoken are from you, Spirit. And we just thank you and love you for this dimly lit dungeon of an auditorium, because real things can happen. In Jesus' name, everybody said, amen. Amen. All right. Like I said, we'll go quick because it's been a long week, right? It's been a long week. Number one, my dream is just impossible. My dream is impossible. Because maybe, you know, you've identified your dream. Like, you've been through this before. Because, like I said, we've done this, how many times this year did we talk about looking for your dream and identifying your dream? And I think it's almost too easy for some of us, or some of you that have seen what you want to do. You know what your purpose is. But you're like, you've already convinced yourself in your own mind without anybody's help that you can't do it. It's too big. I can't get there. There's no way. Look at where I'm at right now. I just don't have time. I can't, because, you know, we got this telescope up here. It was up here last week, you know, just kind of playing on the whole looking towards the moon thing. Maybe you've walked up, you know, you've got in here and you're looking, you're asking God, and you realize, the lens cap's on. Step one, everybody. So you get in there, you're approaching, you're asking God, all right, show me something. And you're looking around, you know, you're seeking God in prayer, and you're like, oh, and he shows you, like, are you kidding me? And you're like, nope, sorry. That is too big, too scary. I can't, like, are you crazy, God? You go back, you look again. Yeah, it's still there. Nope, I'm going to go back over here where it's comfortable. Or maybe you're like, you know, you twist it on yourself and you find it. Oh, that's way easier. It's like that big now. I can do that. Yeah, we're good. And so maybe you're like, convince yourself, well, I can do this small thing. But in your mind, you know that's not really what God wants you to do. Like, that's, he's got more for you. And you know it. You know it. So my question would be, whose strength are you relying on? You spend all this time through prayer, worship, you know, just connecting with God, asking, like, I want to know my purpose. Just show me my purpose. And he shows you. You're like, okay, but no thanks. So you took all that time. You trusted God to show you your dream, but then we take it upon ourselves to determine if it's possible or how we're going to get there, where the resources are going to come from, who's going to help me, where this is going to happen, and the timing, right? So we're putting it on our shoulders, right? Where God wants us to put it on his shoulders, right? Matthew 19:26, with God, everything is possible. With God, everything is possible. We try to do it ourselves? No, not so much. A little bit harder, really harder, impossible. But with God, everything is impossible. If he's going to show you what to do, he's going to show you how to do it. Okay, if he's going to show you where to go, he's going to tell you how to get there. All right? With God, all things are impossible. So if you've already given up, just hold on. All right? If it's too big, again, a couple weeks, Pastor Jesse will be back. We'll get to step two. We'll get to question two. How do I get there? The second way, excuse that we hesitate. I can't shake the others. Does anybody ever remember the show Lost? Yeah? I know you guys have heard about it because Pastor Jesse's talked about it before because he has great taste in television. Because Lost is one of the best TV shows ever created. Amen? All right, if you don't amen anything else, just amen that. Right? But there's this part in there, you know, there's the others. And it's people that have kind of been inhabited the island that these people have crashed on. And you know, they're all confused, and they get out in the woods, and they get lost or by themselves, and they start hearing these whispers. They start hearing these whispers, and it's like the others, right? And so we, there they are. I was waiting for them. Like, do you ever have those voices in your head right there? You know, like, again, you've identified your moon. You've identified your dream. You've taken a look at it. You know, you probably stared at it, if you're like me, just for hours or weeks or months or years. And then you realize, okay, yeah, I can do that. I think I can do that. But then you start talking to other people. Right? You start talking to other people. You start sharing that dream, you know, and they say things like, have you heard, that's impossible, right? So maybe it's not yourself twisting it. It's other people telling you, that's a nice idea, but there's no way you're going to get there, you know. Start looking for something else. And so, you know, while we're over here looking at this, you know, we're here, we got it set, like there it is. Like, they just want you to kind of do something else. Like, keep going searching. Or maybe they tell you, that dream's too big. Have you ever heard that before? Your dream is too big. Why don't you start small? They want you to turn this thing around. They want you to just get the small version. But I want to tell you a story about a man named Lauren Cunningham. And I'm pretty sure I spelled his first name wrong. I apologize. But Lauren Cunningham is a guy who, at the age of 20, and that picture is taken a little while longer, after 1956. But in 1956, this guy was on a mission trip. As a young man, and at the age of 13, he'd been called into missions. So like he pursued that through high school, and he went into college, and he was, you know, on these trips and just kind of pursuing that career, that dream. But when he was on a missions trip, I believe in the Bahamas, he was in prayer in between, you know, a couple services, and God started showing him like a vision. He said he literally saw like waves crashing onto shorelines. Like he saw a map, he saw waves crashing into the shorelines. And then those waves turned into young people. Just waves and waves of young people that started covering entire continents. Cover the entire map. Just young people going out and just covering the nations with the gospel, you know, with practical missions work, and just like that, like God's telling, like, you're going to do this. You're going to start helping this happen. Like, I'm going to go, you know, you're going to be used to make this happen. And so he left that time of prayer, like, with this new purpose, with this real newfound vision for his life that God said, you're going to do this, and it's worldwide. So what did he do? He started telling people. His family, friends, the denomination, the big denomination he worked for or was a part of. And he got all the excuses from, you don't have the money. He got the excuse from his aunt that said, you know what, religion has done enough to tear apart of our family, so maybe we should do something else. He went to the denomination and said, hey, I want to do this. And said, they said, oh, that's awesome. That's a great idea, but it's too big. Like, there's no way that'll work. Start smaller. Here's a few people. Go do this over here. Okay? And he just shoved them to the side and said, hey, just go take care. Take about 20 people and go over here. There's people that wanted to try to tell him, you know what? The money would be better used here in America. Just stay in your comfortable little country here. He's like, no, it's to all of them. He's like, no. God showed me a vision, clear as day, that this is supposed to happen worldwide. And that was in 1956. And now in 2015, there's at least 20,000 full-time workers under the banner of Youth with a Mission. They operate and have bases through 171 countries. They do everything from church planning to farming to they've bought old cruise ships and turned them into floating hospitals. They have teams of snowboarders that go, you know, into these snowboard areas and just tell people about Jesus. Like anything you can think of, Youth with a Mission does. And that was all a result of a man who said, didn't allow the others to stay in his head, right? He just did it. He's like, this is what God told me to do. This is not what you're telling me. This is what God's telling me to do, and I'm going to pursue it. And he made it happen. And I personally am grateful that he did, because the events that he set in motion to create YWAM, like I went to YWAM right after I graduated, and that's where I found my wife. So thank God that Lauren Cunningham followed and did what he did. Because, you know, true inspiration, you know, in regard to the voices in your head, comes from real people who you have surrounded yourself with, who you trust. You know, that will not only speak life into your vision, but truth. You know, because, you know, God tells us we need to have good people in our life. We need to have people that we trust that are going to help us to get where we need to go. So find those voices and listen. Number three, I already tried and I failed. So you identified your moon. You got through the others. You tried it and you just fell right on your face. Little story about my time in YWAM, my trying to impress my would-be bride. We were down, you know, we met in Maui, Youth of the Mission, and we were dating, and her birthday was coming up. So I had these grand ideas that throw her a surprise party and get everybody around, and then we're all going to meet at this park, and we're going to barbecue, and it's just going to be awesome. She's going to feel loved. She's just going to be awesome. Well, again, I was just still getting to know her, and if you know my wife, Nancy, here, like, she's more low-key, small room type thing, that she's kind of, that's her vibe. And where I failed, where I went wrong is, I told her we were going to go to Outback Steakhouse, right, which was a big deal because we were missionaries. I mean, we had to pay to do what we were doing. We had to raise support, so, like, we would have to save up our pennies to go to Outback, and like that was a big deal because most of the food we ate was from a food bank, was expired milk and you know stale bread, and like that's what we did. So Outback would have been cool, but no, we went to a park, and we had hot dogs, and some couple bags of chips, and you know, bless her heart, she was grateful for it, but just not impressed. Okay, she wasn't impressed. And I don't blame her for it. You know, I built this thing up, and then we took a U-turn and said, here you go, here's a hot dog. Not a nice steak. So I know better than to maybe, you know, go about it that way. Too bad it wasn't the other way, that's right. And I've learned now, Jen, thank you very much. But, like, I've told her this before, like, I'm kind of gun-shy to try to do a surprise party for her or anything like that. So I end up just like, you know, taking her to Applebee's or Red Robin or something, and like, it's like, in my mind, I'll get this idea like, oh, you should do this for her birthday this year. And it's like, you remember that one time? Remember what you did there? So maybe let's just, you know, you and the boys just take her out and like, let's keep it right here, okay? So I tried, I failed, and now I'm hesitant. But in the famous words of theologian and songwriter Toby Mac, we lose our way, we get back up again. So get up, you gun shine again. Get up, you're not down forever. Amen? Right, that's probably from the Gospels of Toby Mac. But think of the things, though. Think of the things that we would be without if people gave up. No telephone, no light bulb, cures for diseases. Apple products, anybody? Right? What would we do if they gave up? If they tried it, didn't work out, like, you know what, it's not worth keep going and going and going. So, like, who would be hurting if you stop trying? If you stop pursuing your dream, who's going to miss out on what God has for them? You know? Like, Lauren Cunningham, for me personally, set events into motion to allow me to go find my dream, you know, which is to do missions, and to find a wife who has the same dream, which is to do missions someday. And now we're here, and now we're a part of Journey, and like, it's just bam, 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 bam. So if you're going to hesitate in your dream, who are you affecting? Who are you going to affect down the road? Maybe even 50 years later. So if you tried and failed, don't be afraid to try again. Amen? Number four. This kind of goes back to a couple weeks. I haven't dealt with my habitual sin. Now, if you remember Pastor Jesse, when he kind of rounded out the Real Talk series, you know, he talked about sin and dealing with our lives, and I stole his notes, so just don't tell him, okay? But I took his notes. And if you guys remember, it was point number, I'm going to tell you. Point number three, habitual sin is a dream robber. Habitual sin is a dream robber. And he used Philippians 4:13, said, I can do all things through him that strengthens me. You know, and he used the 2 times 2 equals 4. But when you throw in that variable, 2 times 2 times 0 equals 0, it's dealing with that variable. So the question would be, like, have you forgotten that point? Have you forgotten this already, this message already? You know, as it relates to your dreams, this is in the way. You know, there's something in the way when we don't deal with this stuff. So have you forgotten this already? Have you found somebody to confess to? Did you even try? Was that one of those things where you walked out thinking, you know what? Jesse's right. Jesse's always right. But then, like, again, Sunday night, it's like, you know what? It's just easier if I just don't tell anybody. I just don't deal with this stuff. Let's keep it to myself. But it's a dream robber. It gets in the way. So until we get rid of these sins from our lives, there's always going to be something in the way. So we need to get it out. So allow me to encourage you to, again, attempt to get that stuff out. Find those people that you trust, that you surround yourself with, and get this stuff out so we can move on towards our dreams. Yeah? Number five, like I said, we're moving. I let myself get distracted. Earlier this summer, we were able to go to Disney World and Universal Studios and all that, myself, Nancy, the boys, and our in-laws. And one day, we kind of, you know, it was one of those things where we went to a different park every day, and we were walking, I think it was Universal Studios, and Isaiah, our 10-year-old, always is just, he's his own dude, right? Which is awesome, but he's his own dude. So every time, like, you have to just know that he's there or else he's going to be somewhere else, okay? So I looked back at one point, and we just got into the park, just in the entrance, and we're a ways down the street. I look back and he's gone. And you know, you get that feeling inside. You're like, okay, this is happening. You know, my kid's gone. But not a second later, he comes running up. Sorry, guys, I'm coming. I saw a squirrel. Just as plain as day, like that was just something. And I'm like, dude, we're at Disney World. All right? We paid a lot of money to get correction. My in-laws paid a lot of money for us to be here. So, and you're from Missouri. We have squirrels all over the place. He's like, yeah, but it was like right there, you know? And I didn't find out till this morning. We're getting ready for church. And I'm like, hey, dude, I'm going to tell a story about you. And he's like, why? Yeah, I don't know. It's funny. You know, you're a funny guy. He's like, whatever. I said, I'm going to tell about the squirrel. And he got distracted. He's like, yeah, well, I touched it when it wasn't looking. So apparently it was worth it. But he gets, you know, he got distracted, and it was that easy. And it was something so simple. Like, we're going to ride these rides, you know, and just do all these amazing things that we get to do, you know, once in a lifetime. And he wants to just hang out with a squirrel. All right? And, like, have you ever been like that as well? When you, again, leave a service, you know, you're like, all right, Jesse, I'm going to go home and I'm going to search for this dream. You're like, where is it? Where is it? Oh, hey, what's over there? And you're like, squirrel. And you get stuck on the squirrel. And then you step back and you forget what you're really looking for. And then that squirrel just looks really cool. And you just want to hang out with that squirrel. And you walk in, you know, and you finally come back on a Sunday. You're like, wait, what was it here for? Oh, yeah. Yeah, let's do that again. Then we walk out. And then another 6 days and then more distractions. And life happens. You know, life happens. We all understand that. And I found this article on this website, of course, called Psychology Today. So you know what that's all about. An article titled, The Problem with Following Your Dreams. Again, interesting title. This author's kind of detailing her, to me, an apathetic approach to finding her purpose in life. She writes, my passion, if that's what you call my sense of what's important, is to live a good life, which means to learn and grow, to help those around me, to connect, and to be present with what's happening. That just sounds lovely, doesn't it? Just be a good person. That's enough. Just be around. Be present. Don't you love when people say that? Oh, just be present. I just want to be present. Yeah, that's cool. But she goes on to say, this takes up much too much of my time and energy to waste any more time trying to figure out what my passion or purpose is. This takes up too much of my time to waste energy trying to find out what my passion or purpose is. And I kind of got a sense of where she was going a couple paragraphs earlier, because she started lumping in like the distractions of life with like, oh, bills to pay and demands on your time and raising kids. Ugh, it's the worst. Like, okay, your kids, maybe your kids are part of your purpose. You know, it's totally cool that your purpose is to raise kids, right? To be a mom, to be a dad, like that's a purpose. And even if like your purpose is something else aside from that, those kids are not with you, right? Like you're a family. So just those distractions in life are, it's life. We're going to get distracted. There's things you got to do to survive and to carry on and to raise a family and to take care of yourself and take responsibility. That doesn't mean those distractions need to totally take you away from what God has for you, like overall, right? Like that's just part of living. And she just gets tired. She has not enough energy, not enough time. And that's number six. You know what your dream is? You want to get there, but like, just like we're talking about in the in-between, on Saturday, you're just tired. Like I said, this has been a long, long week. Go ahead, Mary. It's been a long week, and I am tired. That's why I spelled that guy's name wrong, because at 10:30 last night, I added that slide, and I gave him the female version. But you get tired, and You know your passion, you know your purpose, you know where you want to go, but there's just so much stuff going on that you just don't have it in you to get there. The author continues in that article in that same paragraph, says, it feels hard and boring and confusing when I'm searching for my dream. Or it makes me sad or tired. But then sometimes there's a moment of connection or joy or beauty that makes it worthwhile. Sometimes, though. I don't think there's any more purpose than that. Which I disagree. I think you all have a little bit more purpose than just getting by through life. You know, there's more going on than just the minutia of life, daily life. You know, the paying of bills, cleaning the car, just going to work, just to work. There's more to it than that. And yes, it does take some energy. It takes time. It takes money. It takes focus. And there's a verse that we lined up with our youth team that we had up here when they came on to be a youth leader, you know, we have these verses that we follow, and just as encouragement to ourselves, like this is our focus, this is our determination. And one of them we chose was Galatians 6:9 that says, "So let's not get tired of doing what is good, because at just the right time we will reap a harvest of blessing if we don't give up." It's going to take time. It's going to take energy. It's going to take focus. But do not give up. If you know what God wants you to do, then don't stop doing it. Okay? Don't stop going after it. If you know where you got to get to go, keep going there. Don't get tired, because if you're faithful, God is faithful, and he will get you there at his timing, at his right timing. Like I said, Nancy and I, we want to do missions. Like, we want to go do missions. But that's not what God, like, he doesn't need us there now. He needs us here. So this is where we're at, 100% full on. Because our eyes are still, like, that's where our hearts are. But we know God's going to push there, because he's been faithful every step of the way. When we got married almost 11 years ago, we thought it was going to be like the next year. Like, we're just going to go. But God's like, no, that's not what you're going to do right now. Like, I'm preparing you, and this is how it's going to go. It's like every step of the way, he just opens the door and says, okay, go here. Go here now. All right, good. You did your purpose there. All right, go here. Next step. And it's like one step closer every time. And it stinks sometimes, because it's taking forever and I'm tired of waiting. But God is faithful, so I will be faithful to him. So to close, just want to kind of like wrap up this way. Because I think myself too, like when Jesse's just talking about dreams and finding your dreams, and like it's almost like, you know, a Tony Robbins thing on some Sundays. I think like, okay, well, what does this have to do with the gospel? What does this have to do with Jesus and what he came to die on the cross for, and what he came to be among us for, and like why we have relationship with him? And he told us in John 10:10, he says, "I have come that they may have life and have it to the full." He came to die, to raise again, wash our sins, create that bridge to the Father. But he came so we have life and life to the full. That's from the NIV. The Message says, "I came so they can have real life and eternal life, more and better life than they, that's you, have ever dreamed of." God cares about your dreams. He cares about your life here. We think eternally, but we're here for a reason. So there's a purpose and a plan for your life, and Jesus is here for that as well. Amen? So do not forget that. Don't ever give up on that. You know how Jesse always liked to, you know, take a word from a passage and, like, you know, wants to explain it with the Greek? So I tried doing that, and, you know, we see abundantly, life more abundantly there at the end of that verse. And the Greek word for that is perisos. It means more than. So Jesus' own words are telling us that he wants us to experience a life that's beyond, and this is what that Greek meant, beyond what is anticipated, exceeding expectation, and going past the expected limit. So do not lose heart in all this dream talk. Because it's not just trying to build you guys up and make you feel good. It's about getting you in line with what Jesus wants. And that's a bigger and better life than you've ever dreamed for. And that's why I'm so excited to be able to be a part of this and to be a part of this family and to do this with you guys. Because we're going after Jesus, yeah? Amen? You guys stand with me? As our community teams take their places near the tables on each side, and I can ask some of the care pastors and deacons if they want to come up here and to be prepared for prayer. And, you know, there's not a specific altar call or direction for prayer, but, you know, like I said, if you left last week kind of amped up about getting to your dream, but then you, like by Sunday night, Monday morning, you're like, I don't know. Or even you walked in today and you've already given up and you're just here to sing the songs earlier and you're going to tolerate the message, you know, and you need somebody to stand with you in prayer, come down here. And there's also that, you remember that prayer Jesse kind of led last week? He said, God, what was it? Can you put that up there, Crystal? God loves me. God made me. God made me for a reason. Remember that during this in-between. Do not forget that from the time you walk out of here in about 5-10 minutes to next Sunday. God loves you. God made you. And God made you for a reason. We always tell Isaiah, the 10-year-old, the squirrel boy, like, when we talk to you about, like, things like this, like, we make sure he knows, like, this isn't Isaiah. Like, this makes up Isaiah, but Isaiah's in here. Wherever you feel like your soul is sitting, you know, we always go for the heart. Like, just put your hand in your heart right now. And close your eyes and tell yourself that. God loves me. God made me. God made me for a reason. God loves me. God made me. God made me for a reason. And store that in there. Treasure that in your heart, in your soul, in your spirit, in your mind. And don't forget that in this next in between. So I'm going to pray here in a second, and the ushers are going to dismiss. So you guys can take communion. Turn to the inside if you want some prayer. And just remember that God loves you, and he made you, and he made you for a reason. And that we cannot wait to see you guys next Sunday. Continue on this journey to our moon.